Lecture 12, Neurogenesis. Neurogenesis, this is of 7-day intensive seminar, School of the Master. Lecture 12, Neurogenesis. Neuro means what? Origin. Genesis. Genesis is the origin of neuro is of nerves. Okay, neurogenesis defines the formation and development of nerve cells, their origin and service. A field of neurogenesis has been founded to listen to the magic of how the body uses its nervous system, based not so much on the fact as on fact as upon intuition and inspiration. Cells in the body are found to function at or at an unbalanced level. Knowing cell references helps scientists conclude chemical methods of control and give direction to the metaphysician to see the condition and its mental control. This is a new field which will hone down from its vast body of facts to utilizing thought to manage the neurogenesis of the body and its brain. So, what we're saying here is that this is a new field of medicine, a new field of psychology, a new field of thought, a new field for all humanity to use for its own benefit. Now, are you ready to take advantage of being on the leading edge of a new field, a leading edge of a new science, a leading edge of a new understanding? Now, are you ready to be on the leading edge of being a metaphysician? Metaphysicians in the past have been philosophers, people who were thinking of new concepts and new ideas. And now, as metaphysicians from this point of view, people who feel and study those things above the physical, you're looking at something quite interesting here. You're looking at the stem cell use, understanding, and activity in the body for it. Now, if I told you there is a new chemical, and the new chemical that has been discovered is very effective. You take the chemical and you give it in a test tube, and or not test tube, but in a spritz tube, and you give a shot with it. And this will completely cure any cancer. You take this chemical and you put it in a hypodermic needle and you shoot it into diabetic conditions where the liver is not producing the sugar that control that it needs, and the insulin that's needed to be reduced is not being done. It'll instantly recondition those organs, actions, functions, whatever it is that it's put into. If you are an athlete and you have been stupid and you have cracked your skull against something else, maybe another person, you know, bang, and your brain gets all scrambled, you take the hypodermic needle and you take it and put it into the brain and you squirt in this new chemical, and instantly the brain is back into its original purity and integrity. Perhaps even a little intelligence would go in there too, keeping you from bashing your head against it. Little children, they bash their heads against the wall and against the floor. They do that. Now, why are they doing that? We have always thought they're doing that because they were frustrated and other things. They're not doing it for that reason. They have an itch inside of their skull, and they can't reach the itch. And so they bash their head on the floor to scratch the itch. Now, what is that itch?
That is stem cells that
flood
the brain.
Well, I don't say it's the stem cells. It is the brain enlarging faster than the skull is expanding to make room for it. And this, you see, I want to be real careful with this, Sylvia, and I want to be really, really careful in talking to any of you about stem cells. I don't want to give them any opportunity to have a bad rap. I don't want to give any of the stem cell talk that we do, the opportunity to do something incorrect. Because the stem cell of itself does nothing correct or incorrect. It's only when it is directed to do something that it does it. And you cannot say it does something incorrect if that's what it's taught to do. If a child is taught to be left-handed, when a child is really right-handed, you can't say the child is stupid for being left-handed when he's really right-handed, because that's what he's taught to do. Now, can you train a child to be right-handed if he's left-handed? Yes, and that's stupid too. But can you have a child be ambidextrous and be left and right-handed? Yes, you can. And yes, that is normal. And yes, that is good. But that's not done. Because whatever is our proclivity, that is our direction. If you have a proclivity to be left-handed or right-handed, then that's the way you're trained. And that's what the way people handle you. If you have a proclivity to be feminine, then people handle you that way, as a feminine person. And femininity might have nothing to do with sexuality. It might have only to do with the idea that you're a gentle, loving, caring person. Like the big green giant, you know. Big but also gentle. Tough but also gentle. Now, those are things that we're dealing with in many areas of our life. Now, we are talking here about the neurogenesis. It's a new science. It's a new way of looking at things. This hypodermic needle, this chemical that is put in the hypodermic needle, it's really like a stem cell. And a stem cell inserted into wherever it's inserted need only have one to accomplish it. And it doesn't even have to have one. A stem cell is such a fluid, such a sensitive, caring thing. It's like a thought. There's a good word for it. A stem cell is like a thought. And it is ready to be wherever it is placed to be. So if we place our thought on our brain, saying that our brain, that's where the stem cells come from, that we're working with right now. Let's say we have an arthritic hand. And so we take our thought and we put it on our arthritic hand. And we surround our arthritic hand with this thought. And we say, okay, I see my one stem cell invading and covering, folding this hand. One stem cell. It is absolutely perfect. It is absolutely magnificent. This hand is flowing perfectly. It works perfectly. Every organ, action, function of the hand, and it has organs, actions, and functions in it. This hand has more things going on in it than you know. It's perfect. It's beautiful. And love it and bless it. And one stem cell here. And all the other stem cells are distributed to various other areas of the body that you choose to have them distributed. Now, this is the neurogenesis of stem cells, and this is how they function, and this is how they work. They can be manipulated by taken and physically moved from place to place and using a hypodermic needle to move them or some other device, but it doesn't have to be done. It can be done just by mind alone. Yes?
I just had a question. It's in a way much better to do it just by mind alone, because when they move it physically, the person that moves the stem cell has his own thinking and could probably kind of activate his stem cell in a way and make it differentiate it maybe before it even gets into where they want to
introduce it. Asking a question and giving an answer. No. I'm defining what you're saying. You're asking a question and you're giving an answer that is it feasible, and it certainly is, that a stem cell, by our thought, could be utilized in any area that we want it to be utilized in a very efficient and effective way, right? And that we don't have to use any physical way to do it, that a mental way is perfectly adequate and effective to do it. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's even better.
Say it.
I think it's
You're saying that technique is even better than the physical technique.
Yeah, because the person, the doctor who moves it physically, might have an idea about this stem cell, and it's already changed. It's already differentiated before it's introduced in this patient.
Well, that's the activity of hypnosis, too. Because in hypnosis, if the doctor has an illness or something like that, and he's working with the patient through hypnosis, the patient oftentimes ends up with the doctor's cold or something like that. And that's very simplified, but it's the way it works, too. Now, yes, I obviously thoroughly recommend using the mind and thoroughly recommend using thought as a method of putting the stem cell to work in a positive way. Because it's available. It's available. Now, you can take, in your thought, a million stem cells and just sort of have them carry, like your entourage, you know, have them go along with your thought, and then you stop here, okay, stem cell, go in there and take over there. And what do they do in the hospital? They say, okay, intern, you report on this case. And you, intern, you report on this case. These are the student doctors. And they're told to report on different cases and come back with information about it to let them know what's being done and how it's being done. Now, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on is the fact that these cells are being given the opportunity to... he squirted Rex in the face with some water there, and Rex was very surprised. He thought it was something to eat. But this is how we are, too. We are sometimes startled. And in our startling, we lose control or we lose our self-confidence. But yes, neurogenesis works best by thought. And the doctors will find that out. But right now, they are mechanists. The doctors are mechanics. They like to work with physical things. They like to take their scalpel and take stem cells and move them and put them to work in various places and sort of physiologically make things happen. And in this process, they can perhaps have things happen, but they are they're not as efficient as they could be. And that's what we want them to be, as efficient. Do you think, I know what your thoughts are, of course, but do you think that sending a young man to China to have stem cells shot into his brain so that he can come back to be normal in his brain is a necessary thing?
No.
See, I told you, I knew what you were thinking. So what do you think would be the best way for that young man to do that? Now, Ellen, I'm giving you a responsibility. Ellen? Do you have to know who he is?
No.
Do you have to know what his name is and where
no.
he is? Do you have to know anything at all?
No.
You know the situation. I told you.
Yes.
That this is the boy that went to China to have it done. Okay. Now, you know the situation. All right, now, can you, right where you are, without knowing anything more than you do, say to his stem cell or your stem cell, go and insert yourself into his brain. It's already come out of his brain, but insert yourself into his brain and bring balance and harmony to the brain in perfect right order. Can you do that?
Already done.
All right. Now, will we hear about it in the news clippings that it happened?
No.
Why won't you hear about it?
Because we don't need to have a credit.
No, because he doesn't go back for that second operation because he's already whole and perfect. And they think that was done so quickly, and they will not publicize it immediately because they've got to wait 600 years before the miracle is approved by the church, you know. And now this is how it goes, you know. And so then in time, it'll be approved by the scientific community, but it won't be approved by the scientific community because he didn't do the second part of what he was going to do. he was going to go in and have it done again. Now, if after having had it done again, they had the same experiments with him and reaching for his hand and reaching to have him say something and look at them and so forth and having him do it, then they would say, this is done because of that experiment. And if this is done because of that experiment, then they will say, well, then that experiment truly works. But now, was it done because of that experiment, or did Ellen stick her big fat nose in there and put the cause in motion for that one stem cell to go in and do its perfect work without having to have the second operation? You understand? Now, who will ever know? And who will ever know if the parents all of a sudden got wind of the idea, hey, I see the perfect stem cell working in there, clearing up the brain, and he's fantastic now. And perhaps they checked with Dr. Barley and said, Dr. Barley, treat for my son. And they wanted to tell me the story, and I said, forget it. I said, I see your son now, whole and perfect. I see every organ, action, function in your son's body, whole and perfect. He's whole and perfect right now. He is ideal right now. His original purity and integrity is flowing in and through his body. He is experiencing that right now. He's whole and perfect right now. Well, now, what's the scientific community going to do about that? Now, what if that really worked? What if that really worked and the kid was whole and perfect? What would happen? It'd mess up all of their calculations. They wouldn't know who did it. You see, this is like so many of you all, and I mean you all, so many of our students and so many of our people who are in God Unlimited, they call God Unlimited and say, I have a headache, would you pray for me? And we say, sure, it's done. And then they call Unity, and they call Religious Science, and they call the Catholic Church, and they call the Protestant Church, and they call every church under the sun, would you pray for me? I have a bad headache. And so the headache goes away. They haven't the slightest idea whose prayers worked. Maybe they all did. Maybe they all did, you know. And maybe none did. Maybe they just got over their headache, you know. Maybe they just changed their mind about having a headache. Who's to know, you know? So the thing to do, if you have a conviction and you believe that your Catholic Church or your Baptist Church or your Church of God Unlimited or somebody has a real powerful worldwide healing prayer ministry, or even just a local prayer ministry, or even just an individual who does real well, go with it. Go with it and stay with it. I tell people, if you're going to be Catholic, be the best Catholic in the world and enjoy it. If you're going to be a Protestant or be a Baptist or be a whatever, but be it with all your heart. Study it, learn it, follow it, live it, and be it to the best of your ability, because then you'll be a happy person. But otherwise, you're just a bastard. You're studying everything under the sun and believing nothing. And of course, you don't get anywhere that way. Because, oh, they all point to this direction. They all point to that direction. That's fine. What statement has to be made? Anybody?
I
believe this. This is what I believe. People say, oh, I believe what Dr. Barley said. I believe what the Pope said. I believe this. Don't believe what you say. When you tell someone that this is your belief, then say, this is my belief. This is what I believe. And if you don't really believe it, you say, this is what Dr. Barley believes, and he teaches this, and this seems to be a good thing. Well, don't do that, because you have no confidence. You have no conviction yourself. Say, this is what you believe. Otherwise, don't say you believe it, because you don't believe it. Say that you believe it and follow it and live it and enjoy it and have the benefits from it. But if you don't believe it, you're just being a fool. Do you believe that if you went to Lourdes, you'd be healed? If you don't believe it, don't go. It's a waste of money, you know. But if you go, and then everybody says, oh, he believes so strongly, he spent that money to go to Lourdes because he believes so strongly, but it didn't work, you know. Well, it makes you feel like more of a fool, you know. But if you really believe it, if it's your gut working, if it's your attitude being, if you are ready, then you really don't have to go anywhere. You just recognize that your stem cells right now are flowing through every organ, action, function of your body, bringing that organ action function of it to its peak, its original purity. Not that there's something wrong with it. Not that there's something wrong. Every organ action function in your body can be improved, or not improved, can be blessed without changing. If your organ is perfect, why treat? Well, you treat because you see it in its original purity and integrity. Always living in its original purity and integrity. Never will your thought go astray. Never will your thought say that that's not so. That's the important thing that we want to do. We want to be master of our law of cause and effect, of our thought, of what it is that we put in motion for it. And that's what neurogenesis is all about. Neurogenesis is all about Einstein saying, this is my conviction, this is my theory, and this is what I believe. I believe that the magnetic field of the universe is what keeps the universe in a balanced, systematic way, and I believe that the magnetic fabric of the universe is an undulating blanket, so to speak. And he drew pictures of it and pointed it out, and no one could disprove him. And what other field theories did he have? He had lots of them. And what did he do? When did he write these? He wrote these before he was 29 years old. He wrote these when he was being working in a patent office in Germany. Brilliant man. Brilliant man. Brilliant thoughts. Brilliant ideas. He just had an idea, and then he wrote down about it, figured it out, and he was correct. Now, how could he be correct so far back there, before they had all this information, or before they had computers, or all these other type of things that they work on? Can you imagine developing the theory of mathematics, the theory of calculus? Oh, calculus is really a toughy baby. Without computers, and without, well, what did they use? They used these little bead things, you know. Yeah, shoving them back and forth, and the abacus. And in working... I didn't think I remembered it, did you? So you see, the abacus is a simple little thing, but you've got to be a genius to use an abacus. Because you've got to remember which ball meant what, and which bead meant what, and how many beads you moved here, and how many you're moving there, and which ones you're working on. I mean, it's good. I've used a slide rule, and a slide rule is a very complex device, but nothing like an abacus. And there are many Hebrew merchants back when I was a child. That was just a few years ago. I'm 25. And there are many Hebrew merchants who use the abacus, and perhaps there's even many that still use it today because their parents had taught them how to use it. And they loved it. They loved it. Not because it was right or wrong, but because it was fun. It was fun. It caused their mind to stay alive, alert, to be active. And they were like doing crossword puzzles. Their mind, they were so alert that they never forgot anything. Their mind was a steel trap for all knowledge. And not only the steel trap, but an open trap, because they could take it out. Not only put it in, but they could take it out at any moment when they chose to have it. So neurogenesis is quite a fascinating field. And I will just ask you now, since it's hard to give you the full story in just a few moments, but do you have any questions about neurogenesis from what we have said? And I know we haven't said very much, but do you have any questions at all about neurogenesis? This is the neuro is what?
Neuro.
What's genesis?
Origin.
Origin. The origin of our nervous system. Now, what is the origin of our nervous system?
Nerves.
Yeah. Please?
Nerves.
Yes. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? The origin of our nervous system is our nerves. And what do our nerves do? How many of you ever have studied any zoology at all? Any biology? Any of the ologies. Yeah, it's fascinating. You begin to study in biology and zoology about fish, about lizards, about rodents, and about various creatures, and you begin to study them down in their molecular molecular level, and then you move on up to many-celled being, and then multi-celled being with a heart and with a backbone, and then multi-celled beings with eyes and ears and nose and other factors, and then coming up as they are becoming more and more sophisticated. And as you see this, you wonder to yourself, why did they start out with such simple things? Why didn't they just obliterate all the first simple things and just go on with the more complex things that they had created? Well, the reason that they have not obliterated the original beings, the original creatures, if you want to call them that, is because they go back there occasionally. The world destroys itself and goes back to its original purity and integrity, and in doing so, all more sophisticated life is destroyed and released, and then this new life starts over again, because the moving of the tectonic plates completely changes the surface of the earth many, many times during the millennia that go by. And in the changing of these tectonic plates, the movement of the rock system over the earth, all life is not destroyed, it's destroyed, but it is all invalid. And even the seas, even the animals in the sea and the sea life is changed, because all that it had known as its energy source, food source, and so forth, has changed. You understand that? All of it has changed, and so it no longer has its food, it no longer has the proper mixture of oxygen necessary for it to survive, and it ceases to be. And so the only cell, the only things that continue to be are the one-celled or simple-celled animals. And the simple-celled animals, you know, around the vent pipes in under the ocean where the hot water comes up and the lava comes up at the bottom of the ocean, and it's quite hot. And life is there. Simple life exists around these vents of super hot volcanic molten metal plus the, and where is the oxygen? There's no oxygen. Where is the hydrogen? There's no hydrogen. All is hydrogen, but where is the other chemicals necessary to exist? Well, they're not there. They haven't been developed. They haven't been evolved. They haven't been brought forth, but they're in the process. Now, why is this evolutionary change taking place on the planet and taking place with all life? Why does it happen? Well, that's a good question. It happens perhaps because we have gone back to our original purity and integrity. And as we go back to our original purity and integrity, all of this outer stuff, which is a game that we have played, ceases to be. And when we go back to it, then we re-evolve into whatever it is. But you see, whatever we re-evolve into has already been, already exists as a concept in mind, and we can have it as we want it. Now, we could evolve into, let's say, a sophisticated human being of what we might call sophisticated from the year 30,000. Wouldn't that be interesting, you know? What would happen in 30,000, what kind of bodies we have, and what kind of diseaseless beings we are, and mental beings we are. And I mean, it sounds fascinating, doesn't it? Okay, now, so you take this one-celled being at the vent of the ocean, and it is, and then, but it has all knowledge in it, and it decides that it is going to be the 30,000-year-old creature that is known in the year 30,000. Not 3,000, but 30,000. Okay, so here comes this quasi-human being, and it walks out of the ocean, and as soon as it walks out of the ocean, all around it, the atmosphere is not suitable for a human being, and so it immediately creates an atmosphere around it. It has its own atmosphere. It breathes its own oxygen or whatever type of thing it secretes for itself. And as it walks around, what does it do? As it walks around, it creates whatever it chooses to create, a city that it creates, people that it creates, all things from its inner vision, and it brings these things forth. You say, one being does that? Well, why not? Well, one being, don't they need two? Well, maybe, no, yes, maybe, whatever. It creates whatever it wants to create. Now, in the year 30,000, it would have whatever it would have. Now, you see, you have to be able to think imaginatively, creatively, with all sorts of wild, wild dreams, wild, wild imagination. But that's what has happened through the years. Now, what would cause the earth to dissipate underneath the volcanic rocks and underneath the stone? What would cause the earth to do that? What would cause the earth to go under this rock layer and cease to be, and only the one-celled beings remain in existence? What would cause that to happen? Thought. Thought. You see, there are many people in the world who are very powerful, and that includes you. Many people in the world who are very powerful, and they think, this world is so terrible, it's so filled with ugliness, I see it all starting over fresh. Now, could that be? Now, could that be for you alone? Could that be for you alone, that all the other beings on your world continue doing their thing, but you create yourself in a different universe, in a, but it's the same universe, in a different body, in a different context, and you evolve in the millennia of evolution that would take millions of years, in your mind takes but a fraction of a second. And so there, in a fraction of a second, you have your entire universe fully revealed. How interesting, huh? And why not? Why not? How long, and don't take me for facetious here, don't take me for ludicrous, don't take me for stupid, I'm saying what I'm saying because I know. How long did it take for the Big Bang Theory to evolve? As long as it took him to tell the story, you know? When he got done telling the story, do you think there were a lot of believers? Do you think all the kids who were listening thought, hey, that's nice, you know? That's nice that the little Adam now has a lot of friends to play with, you know. That's nice, you know, not realizing that they don't play in the same way that they do. But that's nice. Now, they're believers. Now, could he create an entire universe in that same quickness? Could the Alice in Wonderland syndrome play itself out in that same magic?
It already exists.
That's right. That's right.
Everything exists.
That's right. And what was the main theme of Alice in Wonderland? There is no, and there is no. There is no reason, and there's no logic. The whole story was the reference to creation. There is no reason and no logic to anything. It is just whatever you think at the moment. I bring these things to your attention not because I want to whiz-bang you through it, but I bring these things to your attention because I want you to realize that you have the capacity to think upon the most profound, the most magnificent subjects in the universe, and yet not be bamboozled by it, not be outwitted by it, because you are smoothly understanding each aspect of it from your point of view. And it may not be each of our point of view the same, because that's not necessary. But from each of our attitude, individually and uniquely, we come up with some magic stuff here. And that's what neurogenesis is all about. It's the beginning, the origin of the nerves. And the nervous system is what's the origin of all conscious life. All conscious life. Because in everything, from the one-celled being on up is conscious life, is a nervous system, is the ability to sense the world around it and the world within it. That's what the nervous system's all about. But the nervous system needs a brain to interpret what it feels. So even the one-celled animals had a rudimentary type brain, even though we are not able to detect it. Because a nervous system without a brain is nothing. And that's what exists. So, didn't you have fun? Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of a marvelous adventure? Let's slip into the next section here.